Welcome to the first episode, Pop Culture Man Children.
Wow, this is like the longest title ever.
Pop Culture Man Children?
Yeah.
I wanted to call it Pop Culture Man Babies, but there's a television show coming out with that.
Pop Culture Man Babies?
No, just Man Babies.
See, we could have capitalized off the failure that that's going to be.
I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at predictions. Did I ever tell you the story of, I'll Quentin Tarantino it by telling you the ending first. Me, my little brother Anthony, and my good friend Carlo Carg Montanino, we cut school on a Friday during high school and went to see a motion picture, and we hated it, and we walked out of it saying, this is the worst movie we've ever seen. That motion picture, Shrek. And we were high-fiving each other. We were like, this movie's awful. Mike Myers sucks. It's just a fat bastard voice. We were like, we can't wait for this thing to tank. And here we are over 10 years later. It's got
billions.
It's got specials on TV and sequels and toys and theme park rides, which I've had to go on. But apparently everyone does. I say that to people all the time. I'm like, Shrek, right? And people, no one ever agrees with me.
I seen it once.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see all of it. But you know me. My movie obsessions are weird. I don't watch the things that everybody obsesses over.
Well, I know you, but the listeners don't know you. You're Emilio Sparks.
Yes, I am. And you're Mike Bongiorno.
Welcome.
Collectively, we are known as the Pop Culture Man Babies podcast.
Man Children.
Oh, that's what it is. Man Children.
TM, Pop Culture Man Children. Actually, it's not trademarked.
Could we do PC... MC.
That took way too long for you to get that, by the way.
I was really thinking.
Like in 100 episodes when we're really kicking.
Yeah.
And that's what the fans will call us.
Yes.
I just hope we get through this.
We've done tons of podcasts before.
Yeah, yeah.
People know our pedigree for podcasting.
Yeah, we have a good history of podcasting.
I mean,
more than me.
I mean, I've had the number one podcast on iTunes for several weeks at one point.
The number one or the number one in your category?
Number one in my category.
Which is?
Music. And then we were in the top five in Sports and Rec.
You want to do a shameless plug and say the name of your other show?
Should I do that?
I think so.
Okay, it's called Wrestle Rap.
There you go. Yeah. Worst title ever. I know it's a good podcast. Dumbest title ever.
What do you mean?
What are we going to talk about? Wrestling and rap. What should we call it? Wrestle Rap.
That's it. Done. See you later.
It's dumb.
Zero thought came into it. Absolutely.
I like
nuts.
A nice, long, clunky title.
Like this
Pop
one.
Culture Man Children. I want as many... syllables that you can get into a title.
We just wanted a hashtag that was easy. And we got it. So let's explain what we do here. This podcast,
I don't even know.
Well, I would assume that this podcast would represent things that we are into because we are men of a certain age.
We're coming to you from Emilio's mom's basement.
Yes.
Because we are pop culture man children
living in our parents' houses.
We're very adept in pop culture knowledge. Probably more than we should be.
Yes.
Ask me about World War I. Not very knowledgeable about it. I'll tell you Franz Ferdinand. That's about it. I'm going to tell you.
The band?
No. The guy who got shot. And
that's the Archduke.
But ask me about the intricacies between the Huxtables and the Different World crew, and I'll spin you a whole yarn.
I don't know how to, A, balance a checkbook, nor do I know anything about mortgage rates.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to watching and reading about existentialism within Rick and Morty,
yeah.
Oh, I can give you a critical breakdown. Okay.
But you're not one of these neckbeards who goes and abuses female writers on Twitter, are you?
No, I actually like the female writers.
Yeah, yeah. I actually like females. I think of them as people.
People, yeah, me too. I just don't look at them as objects of sexual desire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know the intricacies of the three...
Seashell?
No. The three branches of government. But I can tell you about the intricacies between the difference between Stefan and Steve Urkel.
Yes. Well, I think that's more important.
Well, it's meant more in my life.
I think Stefan Urkel over the current infrastructure of our government is a little bit more important.
Doesn't he stay Stefan in the final episode?
You know what? It's funny that you say this because we'll get into it later.
Yeah, we want to start with news.
Let's
news.
Let's do that.
All right. So, Ron Howard.
I know him.
Yes. Director of such great films as Splash and The Grinch and the super racist Gung Ho, which in the 80s was totally topical, but you look at it now and it's like, yeesh.
Yeah.
He is working on the Han Solo movie, and this week on Twitter, he finally told us the name of the Han Solo movie. Did you see that?
Yes, I did, but I really, since you're the Star Wars guy,
yeah.
I'm just going to, the floor is yours. The floor is yours.
Drum roll, the name of the movie is Solo, A Star Wars Story. It's about as disappointing as everything else has been with this film. Why not Han Solo or the smuggler, the scoundrel? Solo?
Space pirate.
It just sounds like it's trying... Yeah, space pirate. It's trying to be cool. Solo. It just... I don't like it. But I also don't give a shit about the movie.
Wait, but you're a Star Wars guy. How could you not give a poop about a movie that you're probably going to go see?
Oh, I'm probably going to see it more than once and buy the action figures. So what Disney's been doing is every other year, they have a main episodic Star Wars saga film. Okay, so like The Force Awakens was episode 7, and then they had Rogue One, which is a spinoff. In December, episode 8's coming out, and then Han Solo's the next year. So every other year is going to be like a one-off, one shoot, you know what I mean, like offshoot, and a major like part of the Star Wars story. And they're not taking any risks. Like Lucasfilm in general, which is owned by Disney, they have cool comics and cool books, and they do cool things, but when it comes to the movies, they've been taking zero risks.
Now, why is that? Do they just want to stick to the source material?
I think they want to stay as close to the feel of Star Wars as possible.
But doesn't it have to evolve?
That's what I think. That's what Marvel does that I think... You know, Marvel's not perfect, but Marvel, at least, you look at those films, and there's a big difference between, you know, what you see in, like, the Daredevil TV show and, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So far, all the Star Wars stuff feels the same. You know, Rogue One, I was disappointed in.
That's the only one that I've seen.
Terrible.
And I didn't
like
it.
What a horrible way to join a franchise.
Well, I thought it was... What was the other one?
You thought it was The Force Awakens.
I thought it was The Force Awakens.
At what point did you realize, where's Daisy Ridley?
That's what I wanted to know. I was like, where's Finn? Where's Rey? Where's yeah. Adam from Girls?
Yeah.
And I saw none of them.
Where's Adam from Girls?
I saw none of them. I was highly disappointed. I thought, okay, slow build, 30 minutes in, we're going to see something.
Yeah.
Right? No.
No.
Oh, I thought, oh my God, they rebuilt the Death Star. Is this what they're doing? They're going retro, right? This is what they want to do. They're resurrecting everything. Right? All for the evil Liberace dictator, who's the new
Snoke.
Bad guy. Whatever
Snoke.
His name is. I thought he's like a Liberace.
Well, he sort of looks like the birth child, though the love child of the Emperor and Liberace.
Yeah, but not
he's got a gold suit.
But not regular Liberace. Michael Douglas playing Liberace.
Oh, yeah.
But then I start to watch this thing, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. There's no Finn. There's no Rey. There's no Adam from Girls. I'm shutting this off.
I've got to watch Jyn Erso.
I do not like Jyn
Everyone's
at all.
Favorite Star Wars heroine, Jyn Erso. All we know about the character is things she literally says.
So
like she goes, I believe in this. And it's like it's terrible writing.
The only
hope. She says hope a lot.
She does. The only redeeming quality of that whole movie was the sassy robot.
K2SO.
That is it.
He's salty. He's the best part because that's Alan Tudyk.
I want him in everything.
He's in a lot of things.
Well, no, he was in A Knight's Tale, which is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, really?
Yes, he was.
That's something I did not know about you.
What, that I like A Knight's Tale?
That A Knight's Tale is one of your favorite movies.
Well, every time it is on television, I will watch it. So, Solo. A Solo Han Solo film.
It's another prequel. So, you're going to get him playing a game of Sabacc with... Sabacc, I'm sure all the listeners know, is the, you know, number one card game in a galaxy far, far away. You're going to see Han Solo playing Sabacc with Donald Glover's Lando Calrissian, and he's going to win the Millennium Falcon from him. You're going to see him meet Chewbacca. They're going to have a meet cute. You know, you're going to see him take the job from Jabba the Hutt and then screw it up, which is why Jabba the Hutt wants him dead in the first movie. It's just going to be a lot of that, and I'm getting so sick of that. It's just like, give me an Ahsoka movie. Do you know who Ahsoka is? Probably not.
No.
She's from the cartoons. She's from the comics. She has her own book that was pretty, it was good. She's a good character, but she's not someone that has ever been in a movie. So, you know, Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy, who runs Lucasfilm, they wouldn't have the guts to like make an Ahsoka movie.
Well,
I would
no, they're
love
not.
That.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that though.
No, they want it to be they. But if they keep making carbon copies, if every movie is the same thing, they're going to run out of steam really quickly. Like really quickly.
Do you think it could be how Marvel does it in the cinematic universe where they slowly introduce certain characters?
No, because of all the offshoots, because they also just announced the next offshoot after episode 9, which is, what, 3 years from now?
Yeah.
It's Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. Why?
Why do we need that?
Because they're so afraid to go out of the timeline of the original movies because those are the most popular. And they seem to be, except for Rogue One, which is a good idea, they seem to be obsessed with just taking original characters and giving them stories rather than introducing new things, rather than expanding the universe, rather than, you know, giving us a funny Star Wars movie. You know, Ron Howard wasn't the original director of Solo. It was Lord and Miller, who were the two guys who did Lego Movie and 21 Jump Street. And they got fired because supposedly...
It was too funny?
Yeah, and they supposedly there was a lot of improv-ing. And when you've got a Star Wars movie and you've built all these sets and you've got all this money, you know, going into the toilet, they're like, no, let's stop improvising. This isn't a Judd Apatow movie. Yeah. But I would have liked a funny Star Wars movie. Why can't a Star Wars movie be a comedy?
Well, I think because they're just too dark. I think they have just this heavy, heavy tone to them with everything, though. But even in the cartoons, it's heavy. Even in the comic books, there's a heavy tone.
Well, there's like...
When is there ever folly in Star Wars?
Well, you've got your Ewoks. You've got your Porgs coming up. And you know I've got Porg fever.
You're pro-Porg.
I'm so pro-Porg.
Yeah, but that's just like intermittent spurts of it. It's not like you're not going to get a wisecracking Han Solo, even though I would love to see that.
Well, he was in the original trilogy, but what I want is a funny story. It sort of oscillates between hopeful and sort of upbeat, like the original Star Wars and kind of like Return of Jedi, and dark, like Episode 3, and like Force Awakens is kind of dark, and Rogue One is dark.
They're all dark.
Well, you've seen one.
Well, I'm just going off...
You've seen a pretty dark one.
Yeah, but I'm also going off what I've seen just from, you know, pictures and trailers.
So
and
you're an interesting study here because you're somebody who's not a fan, but you live in the world.
Yes.
So you have some literacy with Star Wars.
Our 20-some-odd year friendship has made me come to realize...
But even without that, you can't avoid this stuff.
No, you can't.
We were just in the supermarket buying batteries, and we saw... BB-8 pop chips?
Yeah.
And I almost bought them until I saw how much high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, but we don't eat that stuff anyway.
No, I'm a healthy man.
So Ron Howard's directing this.
Right. And by the way, isn't that weird enough that like you had these two young directors, you fire them. Who do we get to replace? An A-lister. Howard.
Well, I think that's because of all the money that they're trying to put into this. This, you got to remember, this is a billion-dollar business.
Right.
And they want guys like you and all the neckbeards.
Yeah.
To really either poo-poo on this film
mm-hmm.
or go to it in droves and fawn over it.
And they want directors who will do the job well but not have too many ideas because everything with Star Wars is this giant continuity.
Well, I don't know if it has to do with ideas. I just think they have like the syllabus that's given to them.
Yeah.
And they have to follow that, but they could... Camera techniques and maybe editing techniques could be their own.
That you could do, but when it comes to story, everything has to fit into this giant continuity.
Which aggravates me.
Because that means if Lord and Miller, you know, I don't know, I'm just giving this as an example. I don't know what exactly got them fired. But let's say, you know, the Lord and Miller, they were like, hey, improvise something. And the guy who plays Han Solo is like, hey, remember that one time I dated a frog person? Somebody from Lucasfilm, probably Pablo Hidalgo, who's like the in charge of the continuity, he's like, actually, he never dated a frog person, so we have to cut that out. That's what I imagine happens.
You don't need to go into it so deep
because
we don't need
because
to see
you
on Reddit.
Because if introduce something that hasn't been pre-approved in the sort of Bible that is Star Wars lore, they're not. You know, you can't be making up new aliens and new planets.
See, but why is the lore taken so seriously, though? And that's even from a fan's perspective as well.
I don't know. In the old days before Disney owned it, there was a lot of books and comics, but there was different levels of canon. Not everything was canon. After Disney took it over, they were like, everything's going to be canon now. I guess because of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and trying to copy that.
Well, I think Marvel changed the game for how people tell their stories via movies now.
But I don't think anybody else has come close to doing it.
The way Marvel does it?
Yeah.
Well, I think because Marvel has such a vast library of characters that, like Ego. Did you really expect that to be in Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
They literally will pluck all these odd characters that are just sitting around doing nothing because they can't use Fantastic Four.
Right.
They can't use the X-Men.
And the thing is, comics have different writers and artists, so there's different flavors.
Always.
Right now, Star Wars is all one flavor, and if you try to bring a different flavor... I mean, look, Rogue One, they reshot a lot of it and changed the music, which... And the reason they said they did that was they said it didn't feel Star Wars-y enough, which means that was probably... I bet Rogue One was a really cool movie when it was first made, and then they cut the guts out of it and made it... Basically, just what we've seen.
From what I've seen on Netflix, I was done.
Right.
I will never want to see something from them ever again. I never want to see Rogue 2.
That's never going to happen. Rogue 2 would be the first Star Wars movie.
Well, I shut it off.
How far did you get into it?
57 minutes.
That's pretty long.
Moving forward, what else is in the news?
The new season of Doctor Who. It's going to be shortened to 10 episodes, but each episode is going to be longer. Usually it's what, 12 episodes plus a Christmas episode. Yeah. So it's 13, and every episode's 45 minutes around-ish. Now it's going to be 10 solid ones, but an hour each. Which means when we watch in America, it's probably going to be like an hour and a half.
Which I'm not mad at.
It's an interesting change. I'm not worried yet. I'm not going to be someone who cries about it on the internet.
Now that's a thing. You want to talk about canon.
Yeah.
And intricacy and lore.
Yeah.
But they do it very well because you always have to tell a different story because of the new Doctor.
Right. And they'll bring in things for the fans like continuity porn and be like, hey, here's a reference to an old show from the 60s. Here's a villain that you haven't seen since the 80s. But they're not crazy with continuity. There's a lot of continuity that they just completely ignore. Like the Eighth Doctor, who was the Doctor in the TV movie, he called himself half-human. And that wasn't part of the original lore, and they've completely ignored that. Even though they brought that guy back, they're not going crazy with the continuity. There's a new showrunner, Chris Chibnall, who did Broadchurch. And I think he really came out of the gate. He kicked the gate open when he said, the new Doctor's a female. It's going to be Jodie Whittaker.
Which I like.
Because it says this is going to be way different. And why not? It's been on for, 34 years at this point?
Almost 40, yeah.
I'm for this 10-episode season because every season has one or two clunkers. And if there's 10 going into it, it might be a nice, solid narrative arc for the season. There's really interesting stuff you could do. Like, I don't think they'll have the guts to do this. But when you look at, like, contemporary gender theory, gender and biological sex are not the same thing. If they were really had the guts to do this, they would have the Doctor be Jodie Whittaker but still be gendered male. Basically become transgendered because the body changed. But the Doctor seems to have always been gendered male. Now, I don't think they're going to have the guts to do that, but...
They might.
Last bit of news. There's a new Halloween coming out, and it's directed by...
Rob Zombie?
No. He's off the franchise. It's written and directed by Danny McBride and David Gordon Green. But I don't think it's going to be a comedy, even though those guys are working on it, because supposedly they're, like, really huge fans of the franchise. But the weird thing is, Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be in it, even though her character died. But they're going to make it a sequel.
Thanks for spoiling it.
They're doing the opposite of Disney. They're completely throwing the canon out. The new Halloween is going to be a sequel to, I guess, the original two. Because you can't count one without two. Two is like where you learn that she's his sister. But it's weird because Halloween H2O in the late 90s, they sort of pioneered the... Let's forget every other sequel thing, because H2O was a sequel to the original, not counting all the other sequels. So it's like realities on realities. It's like Inception at this point. How many times are they going to reset the dial and have Jamie Lee Curtis in it? John Carpenter's working on it, which he didn't. I don't think he had anything to do with the Rob Zombie movies, which, by the way, I admit I like. They're cool in certain ways. Judy Greer from Arrested Development, her character on IMDb is Karen Strode. She's got to be Laurie Strode's daughter. So I guess she's the daughter. So I guess we're also writing out Josh Hartnett as Laurie Strode's son. H2O, I liked it when it came out.
I mean,
it was during that whole Scream, Kevin Williamson.
Yeah, it was very
Dawson's Creek.
It was very it was very indicative of the late 90s, early 2000s, where everybody wore thumb rings and clunky sweaters.
And everyone had really, really intellectual dialogue.
Yeah, and they spoke really, really fast, and everybody was pretty in their own
everybody
way.
Everybody was making Waiting for Godot references. Yeah.
This was before vampires started to twinkle.
Yeah, you look back at that stuff, and it's like, wow, this is...
Where the gore wasn't overly gore, but you would like you would see somebody get killed, and the knife would go, and it would cut up, but like the blood would spat out, and then something changed.
Very little gore. I think it's because Columbine happened around that time.
Yeah, I think it was a real sensitive time, and then here comes these, you know, Rob Zombie films, and they're just...
Those are pretty brutal.
The complete opposite of everything that you expect.
Yeah.
And even in the 70s, with the original, it wasn't that gory either. It was a slasher film.
No, right.
But it was more of a psychological thriller.
You could see that it's a descendant of Psycho. Like, when you look at Halloween, you see more of Psycho in it than you see any of the things that came later, like Jason Voorhees and Chucky and all that stuff. Like, because Psycho has what? Two kills in it?
Yeah.
Right? The Arbogast, the detective, who, you know, you just see him fall down the stairs.
Yeah.
And then Marion Crane. She's really the only real, like, decent kill. She's in the shower, and that's an iconic scene.
That's still a scary kill, though.
No, it's terrifying. But you look at, like, the 80s movies, like Friday the 13th Part 5, there's a kill every 10 minutes, and you don't even know the characters. It's just, like, a bloody...
Well, I think that's the thing. I think the importance of character development before someone gets killed is thrown to the wayside. And I think that happened a lot in Scream.
Right, because you can't – I don't think you could even be properly scared if you don't know them.
Well, I mean –
Because then you're rooting for the villain.
Yes.
And then what's the point of that? You're rooting for Freddy. You're rooting for Jason.
Like, we could sit and watch Scream right now, the original, and the – best kill is the first one with Drew Barrymore.
And that's pretty brutal if you see the director's cut.
Because of the phone conversation.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, damn, I kind of like her. And she's a little bit sarcastic in the beginning. And then when the killer says, well, because I want to know who I'm looking at.
Right.
That's when it changes.
Yeah. The opening of Scream 1 is really,
really good.
Really good. And especially because we did go into that thinking Drew Barrymore was a star. And it completely shocked us that she died in the first scene.
And then it was doled
which
down
was a psycho thing, too. She gets gutted.
Yeah.
You see her hanging from a tree with her intestines coming out. That's pretty brutal. I think Scream 2 is where they had that change where, like, you see very little blood in Scream 2.
I mean, I would have just kept it at once. Yeah,
it would have been much better at just one.
See, this is the thing that aggravates me about franchises and sequels and threequels. And it's just, no, I don't want them. Like, even Rocky. And I'm a big Rocky advocate. But I would have been happy with one Rocky.
Creed 2's coming out. How do you feel about that?
Very angry about that.
And
it was perfect. It was perfect.
And Stallone was just a hired gun as an actor in Creed 1. But now he's all on the bandwagon again. And he's like writing Creed 2 and I think directing it.
He's going to Stallone-ify it.
Yeah, he's going to make it all about him. But you know what? Rocky has to die in Creed 2. There's no way this guy's going to live in it. He's got to die. That's got to happen.
He beat cancer.
You've never seen the Doctor Who TV movie, right?
No.
It's got the most brutal Doctor death where the seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy, who was the last Doctor on the original show, he lands in California and like the Yakuza like basically blow him up with machine guns, and it's the most brutal Doctor death. That's gotta happen to Rocky. Rocky's gotta walk into Mickey's gym and there's just some guys there with Tommy guns. It's gotta be Tommy gun with a Tommy gun, like, here's the revenge I always wanted on you. Bang, 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 bang. They just blow him up. He looks like Jimmy Caan in
Godfather
at the toll booth, just like doing that dance.
Paulie drops a token.
The ghost of Paulie comes down from the sky and gets Rocky's spear and brings him. And then Creed walks in and he's like, he sees the blood everywhere and he's like,
now he's got to avenge Rocky.
Now it's Creed Jr. versus Tommy the Gun.
No, it's going to be Tommy the Gun. And Drago in a 2-on-1 handicap match.
You know, you're a real piece of trash. What does he say?
Is you're a real piece of garbage.
You're a real piece of garbage. And then he hits Paulie.
Bang. You should have left him on the street where you found him. I mean, Rocky V has its own little gems. Is there anything else that we want to cover in the news before we take a quick break?
No, that's it. We'll come back and we'll talk about like the stuff we've been watching and seeing and stuff.
Okay, so what is the name of the show again?
It is Pop Culture Man Children.
Tell the people again.
Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Bongiorno. You're Emilio Sparks.
Yes, I am. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a quick little break.
Yeah.
You guys are going to listen to a cool vintage advertisement about some toys right now. And when we come back, we will continue on with this new and exciting podcast called Pop Culture Man Children.
Yes.
There we go. PCMC with MB and ES. It's PCMC. Too much abbreviations.
I like that you abbreviated the word abbreviate. All right, we'll be back.
Long ago, in a galaxy far, far away, the Star Wars saga began, and Kenner continues the excitement.
Chewbacca's
smart! It's C-3PO that you can take apart, and other action figures each sold separately.
Take me to Han Solo and Princess Leia. What happened? Han, Leia, sneak attack. I'm all in pieces. What a mess. Put him down, Chewie.
How's that, C-3PO?
Wonderful.
Han Solo, C-3PO with backpack and other action figures each sold separately from Kenner Star Wars.
All right, and we're back. You just heard.
I think you could do a little bit better than that.
I don't want to do. You're like, you've got that old radio training. I want to be more like NPR. Like, hey, and we're back. This is Pop Culture Man Children, and you get a tote bag for listening to this. No, you don't. You don't get a tote bag.
One of my mentors in this radio industry,
yeah,
by the name of Cousin Brucey,
yeah,
told me that.
Name dropper.
Every time that you come back from a song and or break, you always have to reset the table and project warmth.
Yeah, but he is on terrestrial radio. This is the future. This is a podcast.
But you don't think that projecting warmth will have an
audience
to come back?
Does he know podcasts exist?
He did mine.
But if you said to him, hey, do you know who Jimmy Pardo is?
No.
Or do you know who Mark Maron is? He'd have no idea.
No idea. But he would be interested enough to it where I think he would do the due diligence and he would listen to it.
And then he'd hate it.
He would probably can't stomach
these young punks.
Yeah, because they're not really doing, quote-unquote, in his idea, I guess, would be real radio. He would encourage it because the medium has to evolve.
Right.
And I think it's an art form, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This guy could read an email, give out a phone number, and say the name of the song that just played all within 20 seconds.
I can't do any of that.
Well, I think we're a long-form guy.
Yeah. We're more like Dick Cavett.
We are the Dick Cavett of basement podcasts.
Absolutely we are.
I am so glad about that.
Amelia, what have you been reading and watching? I want to get into what you've been consuming lately.
I'm on two books right now. I just finished the comic book Ringside Volume 1 Kayfabe.
Oh, Kayfabe is the name of the volume.
Well, Kayfabe is a wrestling term that says keep it carny. Don't tell the outsiders the secrets.
Oh, I like the art of this.
Yeah, no, it's great art.
How was it?
It's not too much wrestling-based stuff. It has more to do with the lead character's lover getting himself in a jam financially,
mm-hmm.
and now he has to do certain things and be a part of like a crime syndicate to pay off the debt.
Yeah, I'm looking through it. I'm not seeing really any wrestling
scenes. But when
they
do talk about professional wrestling, they do talk about the bad side
of it. So why do you think who created this? I see Joe Kienich.
Yeah.
I hope I'm saying that right. Joe Kienich?
Yeah.
He's the writer?
Well, I tweeted him. He's a pro wrestling fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And these other names here are what, the artists?
Yeah.
Nick Barber, Ariana Marr, and Simon Gao. It looks like a really cool book. I want to actually borrow this from you.
It's yours. You can take it. I got to go get volume two because shout out to Danny Disaster or Danielle Marie Ward. She told me that volume two is out now.
Oh, really?
So I got to get it. You know who put me onto this book, actually? Our good friends over at Comic Trips, Kat and Paul.
Oh, really?
Because they're wrestling fans.
I haven't read it. I just asked you about the narrative.
Yeah.
Why do you think the lead character is a wrestler? Why make that the background if it's going to be about this like crime story thing?
Because he didn't want to be a wrestler at first.
Okay.
And he was in the military. He was coming to terms with his sexuality in the beginning.
What year is this supposed to be in?
It's in present day.
Oh, it's present
day. But it also tells a couple of flashback narratives to the early 90s where the lead character was this big character.
Uh-huh.
And then he retires and becomes obsolete and nobody knows.
But his audience didn't know he was gay.
No.
Oh, that's okay. That's pretty interesting.
It's an interesting book, and it really tells about the perspective of professional wrestling and Like,
as a wrestling fan, did it ring true to you?
With certain things, yeah.
There's an authenticity,
like,
there?
The whole idea of holding back characters, being secretive about certain things about your personal life.
Right, right.
Doing what the boss tells you to
now,
do.
Now, let me ask you a serious question.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have. Are there any, like, major wrestlers from, like, that we would know that were gay and weren't out?
I know that there was guys like Pat Patterson and Chris Kanyon and Darren Young.
I don't know any of these names.
Okay. Well, Darren Young is a new wrestler, but he came out in 2013.
Okay. Is this character in the book, like, based on any real person, do you think?
No, I just think it's probably just a culmination of the writer's, like, ideas and tropes about professional wrestling. Mm. It really doesn't reminisce about anybody, to be honest with you.
This is a quote from Scotty Young from I Hate Fairyland. After reading Ringside, you won't be able to watch a wrestling match without wondering what the hell these guys will get themselves into that night. After the bell rings and they take off the tights. There's a lot of cool pull quotes back
here. Yeah, I think you'll like it.
This is an Image comic, which Image always does cool stuff.
So that's the first thing I've been obsessed with.
Okay.
And the second thing, you actually made me go back.
Yeah, because you posted something about this.
Well, you texted me a photo of the Batman movie cards.
Right, because I said if I had the money to burn, this would be my new collection. Because I'm a collector. You're a collector. Not as big as me, though. I spent a lot of my money.
You have the money to burn.
On garbage.
Your credit card statement just came in.
Tell you they just raised it again?
No.
It is so irresponsible of them. I really need to call American Express and be like, you guys need to stop doing this.
Do you understand? This is like putting a piece of crack in front of an attic.
I know. They brought it from like, it was like 6,000, and they were like, here, have 12,000. And they just brought up another 3, so now it's 15.
You can definitely buy.
Because I don't pay it off, so they're like, this guy's in the, we got this guy hooked on the fucking hook.
Why don't you buy those Batman movie cards?
I'm not going to do it.
How much could they possibly be? 200?
It doesn't, see, that's not the problem. The problem is once you take that first hit, then you got the taste for it.
Yeah, but how many? Yeah, but it's only probably a limited run
but
of cards.
But then I'll get the Superman cards, and then I'll get the Marvel cards. Then I'm getting cards of things I don't even really like, but I just heard that it might be collectible, and I'm just throwing it in my drawer,
yeah.
And I'm never going to look at it again. Did you have these from a kid?
Yeah.
When you were a kid? So that's what these are. I would open them and put them in one of these books, because what I'm looking at is Emilio's got one of these old binders with, you know, it was like the plastic that you would put the cards in. You could put 9 cards on a page, so you could look at the front and the back. And these are the Marvels from, what year are these from? Oh, 92. It says it right there.
Yeah. And they're kind of mint condition.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that keeping them in this plastic keeps them good. The New Warriors. Psylocke, played now in the motion pictures Do you mind if I take one out? And these are the ones where they got the power ratings in the back. So I'm looking at the Watcher. On a scale of 1 to 7, the Watcher has a strength of 4. His intelligence is a 6. His energy protection is a 6. His mental powers are a 6. His fighting ability is a 1. And his speed is a 7. I'm with that.
Like, I'm looking at
Dracula?
Yeah.
I don't remember Dracula being in the
Marvel.
But you know
universe?
What? I never read Marvel as a kid.
No, he is.
Is he?
Frankenstein, Wolfman, all in one.
Really?
Yeah.
My favorite version of Dracula was Buffy the Vampire Slayer's version.
Wow.
Did you ever see that one?
Yes.
Because they did the smart thing where they're like, we have to pull a trigger on this eventually, but let's make him like a celebrity who's kind of a joke. I think it was really smart to do that. Here is a quote from him. I am Dracula, Prince of Evil, Master of the Undead. That's from Tomb of Dracula, number 27. Oh, so like he had his own like line. His strength is a 4 out of 7. His intelligence is a 4. I'm going to disagree with that.
I think he's way smarter than
the
4.
The Dracula that I'm aware of, he's got to be a 7 intelligence. His energy projection is a 1. Really? His mental powers is a 5. His speed is a 2. I'll agree with that. His fighting ability is a 4. I don't know. I would... Oh, here's Thanos.
That one's going to be through the roof.
Yeah, Thanos. It better be, because I'm going to write an angry letter to 1992. Thanos' power ratings. Hey, but at what point do you think they switched the podcast off? Was it this conversation or was it before?
It was just the intro.
Yeah, they were like, oh, this is not. Let's listen to the new Heaven's Gate podcast. That sounds good. So Thanos, yeah, he's up there. His strength is a 6. His intelligence is a 5. His energy projection is a 6. I don't know if I understand what energy projection means.
I don't. Even when I was a kid, I didn't understand none of this, and I still don't. I just thought they were this cool. I legitimately would buy these things by the box.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they weren't expensive back then.
No, they weren't.
I'm curious to see how much they would be, because I want the ones from 1990. And if you look further in the book, you'll see where they kind of have like a yellow backing.
Yeah.
And it looks more like a comic book rather than this looks like it's a digital window going through to the cosmic universe.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, Thanos' mental powers is a one.
I don't believe that.
I think that Josh Brolin's mental powers are a one.
Really?
No, I like Josh Brolin.
But what
are you more excited about, him as Thanos or him as Cable?
Him as Cable.
Now, is that just because you're more excited about Deadpool 2 than you are about...
Well, here's the thing. I follow him on Instagram.
Of course you do.
So I've been watching him work out for months.
You've been watching the transformation?
Yeah. So I'm all into him just being this just jacked, massive, angry man. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm really into.
I want to say something right now, and I'm going to say it right here on our first episode. I'm going to throw the gauntlet down.
What?
I like the 20th Century Fox mutant universe better than the Disney Marvel Cinematic Universe. X-Men 1's great.
It was a bold statement.
I know it is. X-Men 2 is okay. X-Men 3 is not good. But the prequel trilogy, if you want to call it that, the, you know, First Class, Days of Future Past, was it Apocalypse? Those are really good. The TV show Legion that's on FX is really good.
Legion's good.
Deadpool's really good.
Yes, it is.
Logan's really good. And they're all different. They're all very, very different. I like that.
Is it more because, how can I put this, that Marvel Studio itself was kicking their asses and they realized, wait a minute, we quote-unquote have the better characters with more substance and depth?
Also, I think they were like, why don't we go R-rated? Because that's what Disney's not going to do.
Well, I think Deadpool changed the game.
Right. Deadpool, you wouldn't have had Logan be the way it was without Deadpool. Yeah.
But I think that the Disney, quote-unquote, Marvel movies... First off, they have an unlimited budget.
Right.
So the special effects are going
to
be crazy.
And they have more characters to play with, too.
Well, you have an entire universe.
Right.
You know, where these ones that they don't. And I think eventually they'll all come home.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I don't know. I wouldn't want to restart it like the way we restarted Spider-Man. I would like a portal to just open and have the X-Men come out and be like, here we are. Now we're in this world.
Which would kind of be cool. But you didn't think Spider-Man Homecoming was good?
I loved it.
That was a great way.
But I don't want to redo that. I don't want to start from scratch with the mutants if they come home to Marvel.
I really don't think they started from scratch with Spider-Man. I think we knew going into it that this was the origin story. And I think they told it really well in Civil War, where we had him come in,
yeah,
with no context,
yeah,
he was just there.
But you started fresh. I don't want to meet Wolverine again. I don't want
to
meet.
Well, first off, we need to know who's going to play Wolverine.
I want it to be the little girl who plays it. In I want her to be the new Wolverine. Wouldn't that be sick? Imagine if it were like let the right one in, but with Wolverine, like it's about like
a child.
Yeah, it's about an 8-year-old girl who is a murderer. Wouldn't that be great?
I don't think you can market that to children, and I think that's what they're trying to do.
I don't know. Logan wasn't for children. Deadpool wasn't for kids.
Yeah, but I'm talking about going into this Disney universe.
Oh, going into the – No. No, Disney's going to hire, like, Josh Hartnett to bring him
that's
up.
That's twice now. You've mentioned Josh Hartnett in this
episode.
He's
somewhere – he's like – his ears are burning. He's like, someone remembers me.
We can interview – I swear we could probably get
him
on.
We can call him right now, I bet.
I would love that. I'm going to tweet
We'll have Pie and Punch. He'll be right over here. He'll tell us about working on the faculty.
So what are you into right now?
I just saw two movies that are kind of similar – but one was really good and one was not very good. So the two movies I saw are Happy Death Day and Tragedy Girls. Have you seen these or heard of these?
Well, I haven't seen, but I've heard about Happy Death Day because I think the commercials for them are ridiculous.
So Happy Death Day, which just came out and is directed by Christopher Landon, all right. Both of these movies are interesting because they both feel like they're ancestors. Or not ancestors, but they're... they are the sort of prodigy of Scream,
which you
were just talking about.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Groundhog Day.
No. Oh, God. Ugh. So it's like Groundhog Day, right? This is the whole point of the movie. The lead character, who, by the way, is played by Jessica Roth, and she's really good in it.
Okay.
It's like it's a star-making role, if I could say that.
So the Jessica Roth vehicle.
I'm on board. I want to be in the Jessica Roth business. So she gets killed by a killer in a mask. Very much like Scream. But every time she dies, she wakes up in the same situation and she relives the same day. So it's a lot like Groundhog Day. It's like Groundhog Day meets Scream.
That's what I thought it was.
And then it gets cool for a while because she just like, she realizes, why don't I just, since I'm going to die, let me just, she does that Bill Murray thing where it's like, I'm going to die, let me be crazy.
Is there a montage with Sonny and Cher being played?
No.
Oh.
But actually, every morning, the sound that she wakes up to is, because it's her birthday, is her phone going,
And put your little head in mine.
No. Oh. It's like a remix of 50 Cent. Remember
Go
that?
Shorty,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
your
yeah,
birthday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And she wakes up to it, and there's a montage, kind of like that awesome montage in Groundhog's Day where he's like, he kills himself, and then he starts feeding the homeless guy. It's like her, like, dying a bunch of times trying to figure out who the killer is, which was cool even though it was stupid because you see her, like, sleuthing around looking for clues. And it's like, hey, why don't you just, when the killer goes at you, since you know you can't really die, jump at the killer and grab the mask. But no, she just sleuths around. But then the whole movie ends, and I'll say right now, spoiler alert. This is a spoiler alert. I'm going to say the ending. The killer turns out to basically be her roommate. And her roommate is sort of plain Jane and not very pretty. And it's just lame because it's like when they show the roommate kind of looks like dejected. When you first see the roommate, I thought, okay, this is our red herring because it can't be this character. It's too obvious that this is the character. And then it ends up being that character. It's not inventive. It's not cool. And for me, like, it killed what was otherwise a kind of fun movie. The ending kind of sucked. And then the most egregious crime, right before the credits roll, the boyfriend in the movie goes, hey, this is like Groundhog's Day. And she, like, yeah, we needed that. And she goes, what's Groundhog's Day? And he goes, a Bill Murray movie. To which she says, who's Bill Murray?
I would have walked out.
Well, I did walk out because it was the end of the film. But if they had done that earlier, I would have walked out. It had so much potential.
So how many Mike Bongiornos would you give this?
On a scale of 1 to 13 Mike Bongiornos, I'd give it a...
Wow, 13.
Yeah. I go a baker's dozen. I'd give it a maybe a 4 or 5.
Wow, 5 Bongiornos.
Because it's funny. It looks good. It's got things that work, even though it's got some fundamental problems. But the other movie that I feel like is a descendant of Scream is Tragedy Girls, which I just saw actually last night. And Tragedy Girls, which is directed by Tyler McIntyre, is awesome.
Okay.
Imagine Scream, but if the protagonists were Billy and Stu, the killers. Like, you were following them.
Wow.
But it's also kind of like Mean Girls, because they're on the cheerleader squad, and they're popular, and they're very attractive, but they are the killers. First of all, it's hilarious, and I will pronounce it hilarious. So you're really laughing a lot, but it's really dark. And, you know, dark comedies can be really hard to pull off because if you don't get the tone just right, the whole thing could be a dud. This movie ends up being really funny and really sick, but you still kind of like the characters. You still care about these two friends. It ends up being a beautiful story about friendship, even though it's two friends that are serial killers. It was really good.
So how many Mike Bongiornos would you give this one?
On a scale of 1 to 15 Mike Bongiornos.
Really? 15?
Yeah. I could tell. I would give it... By the way, I wish there was a graphic for this, just pictures of me. I would give it... God, I think I would give it all the way. I'd give it 15. It's really good.
All right.
It's like one of these movies I'm dying to see again. The performances are great. The two main actresses are so brilliant in it. And if they weren't good, the whole thing wouldn't work.
Okay.
They're likable. They're funny. You even kind of root for them as they're killing people. And it's gory as all hell. One of the best deaths in it is Keith Robinson. He's on that new show Ghosted. He was on The Office. You know, big fella. He's also one of the producers of it. So he must have seen this movie and been like, I want to be a part of it. Spoiler alert. They kill him at a gym. And he's like this big guy, and they're two like very small girls. So like, he's basically beating the shit out of them. Like, they're like both jumping on his back, and it's like they're having a real hard time bringing him down. And then eventually he gets stabbed, and he falls on a bench. The bar falls and takes the top of his head off because it's got a lot of weight on it. I have no idea if the physics of this is right, but it's disgusting, and it's so cool. It's getting really good reviews, but I could see a lot of more conservative people hating it. And even, like, blaming it for things. It's funny because I was just, like I said, I was a teacher. I was just talking about this in class. Like, how does the media really affect us? I don't believe in the hypodermic model that you could be completely brainwashed by media. I think if you're already kind of mentally unhealthy and you have the ability to kill, something's going to set you off. You know, maybe it's going to be a movie, but maybe it'll be a comic book. Maybe it'll be somebody cutting you off in traffic. I don't think someone who is not a murderer can become one through consuming violent media.
So you don't think that subliminal advertising, like in that episode of Saved by the Bell, when Zach puts hidden messages in the new Beau Revere tape to give to Kelly Kapowski so she could take him to the dance,
right?
You don't think that really exists?
No. Well, I got to tell you, there's no real evidence that subliminal messaging really works the way that it's shown to work, like on TV and movies. Like, they could slip something into you. Because there's an episode of Columbo with that too. Do you remember that? There's an episode of Columbo where the killer's a projectionist, and Columbo's up there smoking a cigar in the projection room, and he's like, "Let's just show me how this works there." And he's like, "Oh, well, see, we put one frame of popcorn in it, so it makes them want popcorn." He's like, "Oh, that's very. Where'd you get those shoes?" That's my awesome Peter Falk impression. But no, I don't think that works. I think that media can affect this, obviously, because there's media everywhere. But I think, you know, your health, your mental health, your socioeconomic status, your intellect level, you know, there's studies that show like people who have less friends that are more like loners, they are more affected by the media than somebody who has more friends. So there's a lot of different things into it.
Okay, so there's a lot of variables that go into certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're not just getting brainwashed and getting dumber as a society.
When you hear like the news media blame a video game or blame rap music or blame a movie, it's really a scapegoat because they don't want to talk about gun control, which is really the biggest problem. Remember when Columbine happened, they blamed South Park and Marilyn Manson. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. And they blame it on Marilyn. But where are the heroines at? Middle America. Now it's a tragedy. Eminem sings about it. Can I openly admit something here?
Please. This is the place to do it.
I'm going to use my whispering voice. I have had a fear of Marilyn Manson forever.
Why are you afraid of Marilyn Manson?
I think he's scary looking.
Can I admit something to you?
What?
I have that same fear, but with Weird Al Yankovic. I swear to God, when I was a little kid and I'd see him on MTV with his screaming high-pitched voice and the long hair, he just was so bizarre, it scared me.
But see, now I seen him at work.
You seen Weird Al?
No, I seen Marilyn.
Oh.
At work.
My enthusiasm just went from 12 Mike Bongiornos to 10 Mike Bongiornos.
I saw him at work and he couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Was he all Maryland out, or was he like dressed in like, you know, normal people clothes?
Well, I mean, he was wearing normal people clothes, but he was pale. And
was he made up?
He was made up, yeah. But it was very...
He's kind of like pudgy now.
Yeah, but he's like a fat
It's weird
man.
When you get pudgy and old and you're still trying to rock the, you know...
But he was still scary.
Did he directly speak to you?
I really didn't want to make contact, but, you know, I did the wave.
Are you allowed to say where you work?
Oh, yeah. I work at SiriusXM.
All right. So that's how you come into contact with such celebrities as Marilyn Manson and Cousin Brucey.
Yeah, he was real nice, and everybody was taking photos with him, and, you know, he was smiling and being Manson-y, you know, just...
What does being Manson-y mean? Is he licking the side of people's faces?
No, like, one minute he'll look real stoic and scary, and then another one, if it's, like, with a girl, he'll be, like, you know, smiling or happy, or, like, one of the rock hosts that he knows, he'll be more, like, jokey, you know, and laughing or whatever, but... Like, I watched this from, like, the balcony of, like, the second floor of our because I wasn't going down there. I mean, I waved down. And
did they say, hey, Emilio, guess who's going to be in the building today? Marilyn Manson, and you peed your panties a little bit?
He was in what we call the fish tank, because we have this big glass encasement, and that's where we do, like, our special interviews, so that way you can watch them from a...
It's like an operating theater from the turn of the century?
Yes, it is. And so I saw that, and I walked upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't want to be a part of it because he's absolutely scary. And
what if he just flew up there like Lost Boys?
I was just like
Emilio, join us.
I would hyperventilate.
You
I would shake.
Live forever.
No, not with you, because then I'd have to look at him every day. But it stems because I went to
Hot
Topic. Yeah,
because he would sire you.
The fear started when I was about maybe 10, going into Hot Topic in the Staten Island Mall when it was still downstairs right behind the Chevy's restaurant.
Yes, and it smelled like tortilla chips all day long.
I couldn't process the smell because it was such an overpowering smell, and it kind of made me like nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you walked in there, it was, and this is before it was legitimately corporate, mm-hmm. where now like the most scariest thing in there is maybe like a Funko Pop. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
Or
yeah,
a
it's gotten
angel.
Way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I can go in there now because I can relax.
Yeah.
I don't have to have the heebie-jeebies.
Right, right.
But when we originally walked in there, it was really goth-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it was a different time when it first came out.
And I remember because, you know, this is about, I don't know, I'm 10, so maybe about, what, 94?
The long, like, bell-bottoms with the chains.
The chinko
and the,
jeans yeah, and yeah, the chains. Yeah. But I'll never forget it. There was this gentleman there who looked like Manson. He had the septum ring. He
yeah.
had the one contact that was white in the
oh,
eye.
Oh, that always bugged me out, too.
He had black nail polish. He was tall and pale. He wore a skirt. And he had, like, those weird platform, you know, raver shoes. And I walked in, and all I wanted was a Wu-Tang Clan t-shirt.
Right, right.
And I walked in, and I saw this, and I looked at him, and I walked out. I didn't return into Hot Topic.
So your fear for Marilyn Manson comes from someone that you think looked like Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
See, what I think
that's
is someone
what I
like
associated
that,
Marilyn Manson to be.
Right. Well, at that time.
Because he looked like Marilyn Manson.
And then in the late 90s, Marilyn Manson was really famous.
Scary.
Well, it was really scary. Really famous, too. Like, people now don't realize. He's sort of just like, I don't know what now, an old celebrity. But he was really, really popular at one point. Probably like that last phase of MTV having rock music was him.
Beautiful People's a scary video.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's a song that gets played mostly at strip clubs.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was a gimmick at first.
You thought he really, like, drank people's souls.
Yes.
And, like.
Like what? Yeah, like Alice Cooper and Kiss and King Diamond and Gigi
it's
Allen.
It's all. Well, Gigi Allen might be real.
Yeah, I think so.
But, like, you. all you have to do is Google, like, Alice Cooper golfing, and you'll find him in, yeah. like, his golf shorts.
Yeah.
So.
Now, looking back at it, it's a totally ridiculous fear, but he still scares me.
You know, look, do you, like, you know what I mean? I think it's cool. Like, I would never shame anybody. But the thing that I always think about is, like, the work that takes. Like, if you work in Hot Topic, you work in retail. That means you get up in the morning, put on all the regalia, put on makeup. Which is a pain in the ass for anybody. It always felt like, boy, there's a lot of work. Like, what if you are just like, you know, you're just going outside for a minute? Like, do you have just like chill clothes?
When he wants to go get his caramel macchiato at Starbucks,
right.
Does he have to be all Marilyn Manson-y?
It's like those goth characters from Portlandia, where you see them out in the real world, and it's like they're so like done up. It's like, I respect the.
But see, but then I think about it in like in the episode of Glow, where the cat girl goes, "This is not an act."
Right, right, right.
This is really me.
And I'm a guy who only wears t-shirts and jeans, and even that's too much.
I mean, all I wear is black clothing. But I would think about, and I think about it, and I looked them up from time to time on mm-hmm. Facebook. The girls that I went to junior high school with, because they were real gothic-y, and they're completely different now.
No, of course.
So I don't know if it was that.
Or they become genuine cosplayers. I've seen that a lot. Like now it's like they spend their, which I, by the way, I love cosplayers. They spend their weekends like as the Pink Ranger or as like some cool video game character.
I wish we had a cool hobby like that.
So I'm friends with a cosplayer and I told her that I don't feel like I've got the right body for cosplay. And she told me the best term. She said, well, you got to get into cape shape. Cape shape. Isn't that the coolest thing? And I was like, all right, I'll get in the cape shape.
Well, you do look thinner.
I have been trying, but I'm far from cape shape.
Am I in cape shape?
I could probably cosplay as a Ghostbuster at this point.
I like to see
maybe
that.
A Blues Brother. Actually, any Dan Aykroyd character.
Am I
Soul Man.
Am I in cape shape?
No, you're in great. Well, obviously, you're in very good shape, and you just want me to say it. So, yes, you're in good shape.
Thank you.
You do Muay Thai. We can't hang out without you showing me your abs. You always find a reason to do it.
All the time.
It's always uncomfortable.
Okay.
All right.
Let's take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Because I can't believe I shared the Marilyn Manson story where I didn't go into Hot Topic until I was 24.
Yeah.
And it was upstairs.
Yeah, he's not there anymore.
No.
That was his cousin, Daryl Manson.
All right, here's a movie trailer.
Yeah.
It's 1998. In a remote California town at a secluded private school.
We could have a Halloween party, just the four of us. We could have a roaming orgy.
I love the way this man thinks.
No booze, no drugs, no kidding.
One teacher is living in fear.
I'm not who you think I am. I changed my name when I went into hiding.
That's terrible. Take off your gloves.
My brother killed my sister.
How'd he do that?
With a really big kitchen knife.
That's enough. I can't take it, Mom. He's dead. It's been 20 years. What's he waiting for? Don't you think he would have shown up by now?
What's going on, baby?
I don't know. This is a sick joke.
Now.
Come on!
The face of good and the face of evil will meet one last time. But this time, it's going to be a fight to the finish. This summer, terror won't be taking a vacation. Halloween H2O.
It's Halloween. I guess everyone is entitled to one good scare.
I've had my share.
We're going?
We're going.
So the way I want to end our show is I think it'd be really fun if we, even though we through the whole time we're talking BS, I think it'd be really cool if we ended by going like, what is your current obsession?
I because like
I have a current like obsession that's always sitting on my brain that's like, this is the cool thing for this week. So I think I want to do that. But I actually want to,
what?
I want you to start.
Oh, so start the show. Hey, we're back. This is Pop Culture Man.
No,
children.
We don't need to do that.
Oh, we don't have to do none of that.
It's not the radio, man.
Oh, I'm so used to doing that.
Get over it.
I have to.
You gotta shake off that Cousin Brucey.
It's so difficult.
They know
though.
We're back because we're
know.
Back.
We are. All right. This is freeing.
I know.
This is. It's a little
That's
bit liberating.
That's the beauty of podcasting.
It's like I took off my bra and I decided to burn it.
I know.
After reading Gloria Steinem.
I don't wear a bra, but I always felt like I understood how good that must feel. You know what I mean? Like to take it off, it probably feels great. It sucks that bras exist even. Like
that
hurts.
It feels like it hurts. Like you have like pressure.
Yeah,
it's holding you down.
I don't like.
That's like wearing tight underwear, and then
right.
like before you put your pajama pants on, you take your underwears off, and there's like a sigh of relief or a pair of tight socks.
Yeah, like when you take off your underwear and like you see like the elastic line.
Oh.
Like women get that with like the
bra.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we tackled this important issue.
We're woke.
What are you into right now? We are woke. And you know what? This podcast is fire. That's
lit.
What the kids say. It's lit, right,
it's
kids?
It's lit. It's lit.
Aha! Yeah. So
yeah.
Go on, fam. Tell me your...
It's so weird hearing you say, using such a...
I do that at school to the kids. I'd be like, yeah, fam, come on.
What, using urban patois?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so odd to hear you use them.
I'd be like, I like those boots are dead ass. I like it.
I think you use
it
dead ass.
New York. That's the New York meme.
Yeah, but you're using dead ass in the wrong context, though. Like, if
dead ass is like, I'm serious, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you could say B after
those
everything.
Are look, those are great... I really love those boots, dead ass. Like, dead ass is like my hand to God.
Yeah, but see, you used all the other words, too, in the beginning. All you had to say is, like, yo, dead ass, I rock with those shoes.
Okay. See, that confuses me. I'm going to have to go look that up. I rock with those shoes?
Yeah. Like, I saw somebody's Vans
yeah.
on the train coming home from work a couple hours ago.
Is that right?
And I look at their shoes, and I'm like, yo, I'm vibing on the slips.
I'm vibing on the slips. And what did the person say back to you?
Good looks.
Wow. See, I'm not cool at all. I tried to do something yesterday when I was going to see Tragedy Girls.
Yeah.
I was wearing the shirt I'm wearing right now, which is right now I'm wearing the October 2017 Loot Crate shirt, which is from the regular Loot Crate, which is it's Ghostbusters, but it almost looks a little like LGBTQ Ghostbusters because it's like pink and like kind of colorful. Well, yesterday in the movies, I saw a woman wearing the exact same shirt. And I'm not such a jerk that I'm going to point out that we're wearing the same shirt, but... That means that she's a Loot Crater, and that means that she probably also got it that day because I got mine yesterday. And so I was like, oh, cool shirt. And then she didn't look at me at all. She didn't acknowledge me as a person, and I felt bad. And then later on, I saw her while I was going to get nacho chips, and I said, oh, it's the woman with the cool shirt again. And she probably thought I was being like gross or hitting on her. I was really just trying to make a Loot Crate connection. You know, we both give our money to this company.
I'm sorry that she snubbed you.
I know, because I feel like you can't buy this in a store.
No, you can't.
This is a Loot Crate exclusive.
Only Loot Craters.
Speaking of Loot Crate exclusives, I gave... Yesterday I saw Nadia, our friend Nadia, and it was her birthday this week, so I gave her... She likes Adventure Time, I don't, so I gave her a Loot Crate exclusive Adventure Time statue, which I was just doing nothing with. I'm trying to get rid of it. You know, the thing about being a collector is every once in a while you got to go through it and be like, yeah, do I need this? Like, especially when it's something I'm not even in that fandom. Like, I'm not even a fan of it. I'm like, why? Somebody who likes Adventure Time could be enjoying this, and it's in my sock drawer.
I mean, we're sitting on something I'm collecting right now.
Yes, actually, we're sitting on something very cool. What is it?
These are collector chairs from WWE pay-per-views that you go to.
So mine is WrestleMania April 2nd, 2017.
Yeah, I went to WrestleMania 33 this year. I was there.
Presented by Snickers.
Yeah, I went to it.
So you just pick it up and leave? Like,
well, you're allowed to.
But, like, because everyone's just on the elevator with, like...
Yeah, tons of people are walking out with chairs.
But people don't hit each other with it? I feel like it would cause, problems.
No. Everybody want... Like, some people carry two or three at a clip.
I'm not a wrestling fan, and you're not a Star Wars fan. Yeah. And that's why we're the perfect couple.
We are.
Welcome to Pop Culture Man Children. So what are you into right now?
Okay, I am... And this is... We've been teasing it all episode, but I've been slowly watching all of the original run of TGIF on Hulu.
Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah.
Then it was changed to Thank God It's Funny.
Yeah, which I didn't like. I liked that it was Friday.
Yeah.
Because we knew it was going to be funny. So most were Miller Boyette Productions.
Of course.
Because they really cornered the game back then.
Now, does it have the original lineup on there? It's on Hulu, right?
Yes.
Does it have the original lineup?
All the shows are on there.
Just the 10 of Us? Just the 10 of Us was in the original lineup.
Yeah, but no... Well, I mean, when you click on... I started with Perfect Strangers.
Right. A good place to start.
I'm still on that now. I'm on season 3.
How many seasons are there?
6 or 8. I'm trying to remember. I'm having a brain fart because I don't look at...
I think they switched... I might be totally wrong on this. I think they switched networks at some point towards the end.
No, Perfect Strangers? No, it was always... They switched times. They never switched networks.
I thought they...
It was always an ABC exclusive. They did not. No. So anyway, so I'm watching that and... I don't know why, man, but I really got into the physical comedy between Bronson Pinchot and Marklin Baker.
They jump into each other's arms a lot.
No, but even in the intro, like, you see them when they're, like, when Marklin is slapping Balky.
Yeah.
And they're going back and forth and he's fighting him.
Yeah.
Like, the physical comedy is really spot on. Now, I don't know if that's just the chemistry between those two actors, but...
Bronson Pinchot is really good.
150 episodes.
8 seasons. Yeah, that makes sense.
The first season only had 6, and the last season only had 6 episodes.
Oh, wait. I mean, so it was an order of 6 episodes per the season. So, okay, I get
it. They wanted to end it the way they started it.
But the regular seasons back then was probably like 28 or something?
24 to 28.
Damn, that's so much TV.
That's a lot of TV.
That's so much TV. Now we're happy that, like, HBO will give us 10 of something.
Yeah, we get happy that 6 on Netflix. Yeah. So I'm watching that, and I'm watching the physical comedy between these two guys. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is really spot on.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the jokes and all that stuff are hokey, and it really doesn't stand the test of time.
And the kind of premise is kind of xenophobic.
Xenophobic.
You wouldn't do it now.
It's the fish out of water mentality.
Because he's not even from a real place.
No.
He's like from a fictional
sub-Mediterranean area.
Right.
You know, where everything has to deal with like goats and a bartering system. Like, I remember they tackled Balky helping a Italian woman from his what's the class when you become a legal citizen?
The American citizenship test.
So there was a woman, an Italian woman named Maria.
Or the green card? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah. But they take these classes.
Yeah, yeah.
So Maria's husband is a truck driver.
Of course.
And they literally...
There's mozzarella everywhere.
She doesn't want to be home alone because the baby's almost due.
Uh-huh.
So Balky volunteers Cousin Larry's apartment.
Yeah.
And so now she's pregnant.
You have to pronounce it Cousin Larry.
Cousin Larry. Cousin Larry. Yeah, like that. So the episode goes in Meepos... You know, a woman has a baby, she goes back to plow in the field and then cooks dinner for 11 men.
Right.
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what? That would not work nowadays.
Right.
That joke would be so flat.
Right.
The 80s was such a different time,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
So, But I was watching that, and the episode, the way the two men are freaking out about the baby and the physical comedy of them falling while she's the most calm, collective person.
Right, right.
Really funny. Like, the comedic timing was spot on.
I haven't seen that show in so long. I really need to check it out. On, like, an average episode, how many locations do you see? Because there's a department, and then there's the, what, like, where they work, right?
Yeah.
With Mrs. Winslow.
Well, no, that's in season 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where Harriet becomes a character.
Doesn't he? But he works where?
They work at Ritz, is like department store. It's kind of like a.
I thought they worked at like a newspaper.
Yeah, they did later on.
Oh, they went from retail to journalism.
Well, because Cousin Larry was a photojournalist.
Sure, he was.
Yeah, and he was trying to get his big break. And one of the episodes was he was stalking somebody that was supposed to, allegedly, Dolly Parton, to get a photo.
Wow, that's a very 80s sentence you just said.
This is before TMZ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was mostly Cousin Larry out
just
there.
Just running around trying to take
paparazzi.
Photos. Just taking photos of Dolly Parton and the Cubs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The Cubs.
Well,
yeah,
from
the Cubs
Chicago.
Was a big presence
oh,
in
they
that
were in
show.
Chicago.
It's in every opening.
But it's only two locations. Ritz's discount store.
I remember
store
them looking at the tickets and running into the stadium.
Yes.
That's every opening.
And then they change another one where they're in tuxedos and they're going into the opera. And they jump off the blue line.
Classy.
But Balky's wearing shorts.
Are they actually cousins?
Okay, so Cousin Larry's dad and Balky's mother are like third cousins twice removed, they said.
Okay.
So when Balky's mom says, well, when you're going to America, make sure you look up Larry Appleton.
Okay.
So he goes to Illinois. And Larry's dad sends Balky to Chicago to go find Larry and gives him the address.
And who plays Larry's dad? Wilford Brimley?
In the beginning of the theme song, when you see like the theme song he's coming out of this like house with this pretty little neighborhood and the white picket fence, and there's some guy that's supposed to play his dad and then his mom, and he's surrounded by all these like brothers and sisters, and you have the one cool hip brother who just wears sunglasses and just shakes his head twice and gives him the keys to the Mustang. That's the only time
in the
80s
cool was basically glasses.
Sunglasses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And flannel.
Yeah.
yeah. And leather. That was it.
Yeah.
And then that's it. They make no other reference of it.
If we were to read it from like a real, you know, like psychoanalytical perspective.
Yeah.
Is it Cousin Larry is a neurotic American and living in America makes you neurotic, and Balky just is cool because he comes from like a nice small place and he knows how to like deal with stuff?
I wouldn't say that Mark Lynn Baker plays a neurotic. At first you see him trying to play somebody that he's not, especially when it's women and he's trying to hit on women.
Oh, are the two girlfriends...
They come in season 2, yeah.
Oh, so they're not in season 1.
No, a woman named Susan was in season 1.
Okay.
But it was just a platonic relationship between her and Larry.
So it really grew over time, what I'm thinking of as like the stable of the cast.
Well, what changed, what I also thought was funny but weird at the same time too, every time Balky saw a pretty woman, he would drop down to his hands and knees and wrap his arms around her and be like, I'm your love slave, take me now.
I'm glad they changed that.
It was a little. It was uncomfortable.
That's called sexual assault.
Yeah. It was uncomfortable. Again, the physical stuff.
So that's what you're obsessed with right now.
It's the physical aspect of it.
Is that
crazy?
No. I need to go and check that out.
It's on Hulu, man.
So are you going to make your way through all the TGIF shows?
Yes.
Even Step by Step.
I actually loved Step by Step growing up.
I loved it as a kid too, but then Cody disappears because I think he allegedly like hurt somebody in real life or
most
something.
Most likely. So he was on the lam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, see, nowadays, like, there's continuity with things. Back in the day, they would just cut a character out and never mention him again.
They make mention to how many brothers and sisters Cousin Larry has, and the number changed like 3 times.
It was always what was needed for the plot of that episode.
Yeah.
And every episode you could watch in any order, basically.
Any order.
There was no arc there.
No.
I guess we could, like, maybe give the credit to that to Larry David, coming up with, like, the idea of, like, an arc.
But do you need story arc, though?
I think, yeah. Well, you don't need it,
Modern
but I think
Family
it's fashionable
doesn't do
now.
Story arc.
They do, like, a very, very loose one. But think about, like, the shows we really like. Those are almost like movies. Like, Netflix shows are basically, like, movies in parts. you couldn't just like watch, you know, an episode of a Netflix show, like episode 3 of Stranger Things, and have any idea what's going on.
Oh no, I could legitimately put on any episode of Perfect Strangers and just watch it.
And they're built for that. That's what they're built for. They're built for syndication because that was where the money was.
Another thing I'm obsessed with that I've been reading is it's called Hummingbird by Jude Angelini.
Wow, like you're really reading a book. I'm proud of you.
Dude, I read a book a month.
I know. I'm seeing your books. I read a book a week, but it's not a competition.
Well, I'm sorry. I actually have another job.
If you look on the back of my Marvel card, it says books a week, one. That's power projection, 3. No, what's this book about?
Okay, so it is a continuation from where he left off with his first book called Hyena. Mm-hmm. And it's a collection of, I wouldn't say short stories, but it's journal entries of his life from a specific point in his life. And a lot has to do with his drug mm-hmm. abuse, being 40 and not really settling down.
I don't know anything about Jude.
Living in Los Angeles. He is a radio presenter
mm-hmm.
that started to write 2 books, and I have both of them.
Do you have like a, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have like a favorite part of this? You want to read me a paragraph?
Actually, yeah.
There we go. Emilio is finding the perfect passage to, you're listening to This American Life.
All right. This is from the chapter called Big Shot. I'm going to read paragraph 2 on page 53.
Do a little cough. Get your instrument right.
I'll take a swig of water.
Yes. Emilio is taking a swig of water. He's about to read a passage. Here we are.
This is from Hummingbird by Jude Angelini. It's now 9:30 on Sunday morning. I'm fried. I'm trying to figure out how much ketamine I need to shoot to hit a K-hole.
I like it already.
I'm looking at the number on the side of the syringe, trying to figure out if they're milligrams or what. They didn't put no letters on this shit at all. The numbers on the side go from 0 to 100. I fill it to 50. 50 what? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out a good compromise. I stick it in my leg and I'm thinking, this is how motherfuckers kill themselves. Because 20 years ago they paid no attention to science class. I'm about to push in the plunger when I get a call from an unknown number. I pick it up. It's my daughter. We haven't spoken since our fight. She was fucking up in school, drinking too much. So I needed to cut off her phone and I drained her bank account. I shot her a couple of emails since, but I haven't heard back. This is our first time talking in months. I take the needle out of my leg. We don't address the fight. She catches me up on her life. She's got a job. She switched majors.
Turning the page.
I say, having your own money feels good, right? And she says, yeah. I tell her I'm proud of her. She tells me she's chilled out with the partying. I tell her to be careful with all that drinking. I tell her that she's got some wild ones in her family.
So he's on K right now talking to his daughter about not drinking.
Yeah, and he goes on to say that she tells me she's chilled out about the partying. I tell her to be careful with all that drinking shit. She's got some wild ones in her family, and that shit might run in her blood. I tell her it doesn't matter what major she's in. If you're smart and you're humble and grind hard and be brave, you could do anything you want. I tell her to be brave. I tell her I love her. We get off the phone. I'm thinking about her for a minute in my apartment, in my new leather armchair. The sun is shining on the couch. A bird is singing outside the window. My drugs are on the ottoman in front of me. I get up and I put on some Pharoah Saunders records, Journey to the One. It's a sparse melody. I sit back down. I pick up the needle and I sink it into my thigh and I push the plunger and I'm slowly emptying the syringe. I'm listening to the sax part play with a sitar and I wait for the K to kick in. I'm thinking about what to do. I'm thinking about what I'm doing to myself and why I keep doing it. I might stop if I had a reason. The song ends, and I'm thinking maybe I should do some more because I still don't feel anything.
Wow. And that's from, give it a shout out again.
That is from Hummingbird by Jude Angelini.
And is that available at brick and mortar stores and Amazon?
Yeah, you can go to anywhere to get it.
I actually want to read that now. That sounds awesome.
I should be finished with it by like tomorrow.
Very cool. All right, so let me tell you what I'm into right now. I'm into 2 things as well. So the first thing is kind of weird. Okay, so our show is called Pop Culture Man Children, and we've been having conversations about like how do we even define pop culture? And I think that our best way to define it is by like everything that's like, you know, happening. Everything, you know, it shouldn't just be like media. So One thing I'm obsessed with right now, and I sent you the picture of these, so look on your phone. I'm obsessed with Spirit Halloween. Do you know Spirit Halloween?
Yes, yes. It's a store.
Yeah. It is a – they started as a pop-up store. Now they're owned by Spencer's. And they also have a website. And, you know, you buy costumes through them. You buy decorations through them. But this year in particular, they have been crushing it, crushing Halloween.
I already know what you're going through because I see it.
Right? You see the proton pack?
Yeah.
So I have this proton pack. It costs about $70. And for that price, it is really good. It's got a real replica. It looks really good. It lights up when you shoot the wand.
The wand detaches from the holster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's wow. Like the weird thing about it is it's somewhere in between replica and toy. You know, it's kind of got a weird identity because the only thing I would complain about with it is that the underside of it, like that touches your skin, that's just like a soft material with like cardboard underneath it, which I guess they do to keep it from getting too heavy. But the outer shell looks like a really good replica of the proton pack. And when they announced it, it immediately sold out on their website and like became like a huge. They did not realize the Ghostbusters nerds that would go for it. I was supposed to get it, I think, in 2 weeks, and then I sent them an email and was like, where the hell is my proton pack? And they were like, we're sorry, we didn't expect this, it's probably going to be another 2 weeks. And they ended up apologizing. They did something very cool. They took away the shipping and handling cost for me, and they ended up sending it to me. But they like, I was on the website today, didn't see it. So I think they're just, I don't think they realized what they had there.
You were smart enough to grab it and grab it quickly.
Yeah. And it is awesome. And they've got other cool stuff going on, too.
So you don't have it yet?
I have it.
Oh, you should have brought it over.
I know, I should have. I'm sorry.
I'm disappointed. I wanted to play with it.
Oh, I'll bring it by someday.
You know what I see on here?
What?
It's kind of cool. The portal gun from Rick and Morty.
Yes. And that's, how much is that? $14.99. That's not bad. Again, that's not like there's a Funko one coming out that's like a real toy, but this is pretty good for a costume because it's probably light, it's cheap.
It lights up, I assume, right?
Yeah, it must light up. It's got a button. Yeah, and also the laser gun, which is, that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's like, I think that they have, you know, there's always been like costumes and stuff of popular culture things, but I don't know, I feel like this year, they're really crushing it with, like, what's going on, what people are thinking about right now. And, you know, like, this portal gun, I'm sure, like, there's plenty of people who bought this just for it. Like, it's not for a costume. They just want – they want a toy of a portal gun.
I mean, I would love to have a portal gun toy. But
do
I buy the one from Spirit Halloween or do I wait for the Funko one?
I say you buy both. You take the Funko one and you put that on your display shelf. And then you bring the Spirit one out in the world.
So rock one, stock one.
Yes, rock one, stock one.
I like absolutely. That idea.
Also, another big thing that they've been doing this year that's been getting them some acclaim is they've got a whole line of Hocus Pocus stuff, including really cool-looking costumes for the Three Witches,
you
the
know,
Three
I've
Sisters.
Never seen that movie.
I'm sorry, come again?
I've never seen that movie.
It's a great movie. I mean, it's a kid's movie, but it's a great movie.
Like, it's like a movie every girl on my Snapchat watches, and they get really excited about it when it's on.
The kids I teach love it. It's a Halloween classic. I saw it in the theater. The only thing I would say about it that's odd is there is a cameo by Penny Marshall and Gary Marshall, and they play husband and wife, even though they're brother and sister. But other than that, it's good. It's funny. Supposedly they're making a sequel. We'll see how that works out. But, yeah, like, look at the detail of, like, the witch costume. Like, that's pretty good.
That's
$44.99. That's really good.
Especially if it's something that you're most likely going to wear once.
Right, right. Unless you're, like, a cosplayer. Or if, you know, maybe you've got a sexual attraction to Winifred Sanderson. You know who I had a crush on when I was a kid?
Mary Sanderson?
No, not Kathy Najimy. Sarah Jessica Parker's character. I think her name was Sarah Sanderson. She was like the blonde one. She was like the ditzy one.
Did she look like a horse back then?
That is cruel and mean. And no, she did not. She looked like she was beautiful. This was like honeymoon in Vegas.
She was pretty in Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was. I had a big crush on her. Also, look at this thing. Look at this.
Yeah, the TV thing.
It's like a TV, but I think it has like a sort of rubber. It's animatronic. It's got like a rubber, I guess, like viewing screen, and then like a skull comes through it. Like it looks like, Freddy's like coming through the wall in that scene in Nightmare on Elm Street, but it's a TV. Like, they have really cool decor and fairly cheap stuff. They figured out a way to make this stuff, like, cheaply. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not someone who decorates the house. You know, I'm not going to let in strangers. I'm not that. I'm not like, going to make my house into a haunt.
Well,
but, like, this is cool stuff. Look at this, too. This is a huge Jack Skellington that moves around and talks.
It's
from
again,
A Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I got a video message from our friends at Comic Trips,
mm-hmm.
and they bought this,
and it's fairly cheap, like $250. That's
yeah.
Nothing.
They showed me it, the detail on this thing,
and he like talks.
Yeah, the detail on this thing is insane. I asked what was the retail price, and she goes $200.
Right,
and she went, yo, the detail on this thing.
And if you're a fan of A Nightmare Before Christmas, which I know Pat is. You would have that year round.
I would keep that in the house.
My proton pack is year round. It's beautifully presented.
See, if I had a bigger space in my place, mm-hmm. I would have something like that just displayed all year.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a situation for a company that's been around a long time, and they just, this year, they're just crushing it.
I think
it.
They understand it now. Like, they get it.
Also, I think, like, we're living in, like, this nerd culture of fandom where adults know that basically the world's going to end soon, so yeah. Why not spend our hard-earned money on toys and stuff? So it's like, yeah, I'm going to buy a proton pack. Yeah, I'm going to buy
I think there is a Halloween Spirit up the block from where I live.
Yeah, really?
I think we should go in there and look around.
We
and
really should. Look at this thing. This thing also looks cool. It's a haunted movie projector. It's $50, and it looks like an old-fashioned movie projector. And what they're not showing you is when you project it on the wall, it's just a little, like, 2-second cartoon of, like, a skeleton dancing. So it actually is working like a projector.
Oh, I like that.
How cool is that? When I was a kid,
we didn't have stuff like
I
that.
I would have loved. I know. When I was a kid, all of this stuff was way too expensive. You know what I had as a kid that I was super excited about? I had a cassette tape that was the sound of a haunted house. So it was a lot of heartbeats.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I would put it on, masturbate. It was great.
When we were kids.
It's not true. That last part was a lie.
The most Halloween-y thing we would have in the house would be like pumpkin lights that you would just stick to the wall.
Yeah, I mean.
And other things like the.
A cutout witch.
Yeah, a cutout witch or the Dracula or Frankenstein. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
there
right.
was no real Halloween-esque anything.
But you know what we had as kids that was really, really cool?
What?
The McDonald's pumpkin
yes.
candy, like
yes.
candy collector, whatever yes. you want to call it. It was a Happy Meal would come in either. The original one was a orange pumpkin, a green and white witch, or was it a Frankenstein monster?
Frankenstein
or Dracula.
Monster.
I don't forget. And the Happy Meal would come in it. And so the thing would always smell like Happy Meal, no matter how many times you washed it. And then it was a pumpkin, and you'd hold it, and you go trick-or-treating with it.
I had several.
Yeah, because they would always – they would change a little bit. They'd make – now there's one that's glow-in-the-dark. I was actually looking at them recently. There was, like – now they do, like, licensed things, which I'm not that into. Like, they did a Peanuts one recently.
Yeah, I don't like they did what they also used to have. Remember when they used to do the, like, McNuggets as toys?
Yes.
They also had them in Halloween characters.
Yes, I totally remember a McNugget – with a
Dracula.
Frankenstein. Yes. Yes. Like, when I try to get into the Halloween spirit, like, I don't
think of scary stuff. I think of stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't watch scary movies. I mean, I like scary movies, but what gets me in the mood is, like, walking into a Hallmark.
Yeah.
And looking at all that stuff. Like, that's, like, candy. I love candy corn. A lot of people think it's gross. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
Candy corn's delicious. I mean, I don't eat it anymore because it would make my stomach die, but it's delicious, no? Right. It's like marzipan.
If you say so. What's the second thing you're into?
Well, that's a really good question. What is the second thing I'm into? Oh, I'm into this new book that came out. It's called From a Certain Point of View. And it is a book celebrating the 40th anniversary of Star Wars.
Of course.
Right. And 40 authors. Actually, it's more than 40 authors because some stories are more than one author. There are 40 short stories in it. And they're very short, and literally it's the timeline, it's the chronology of the first Star Wars movie, Star Wars A New Hope, but all told from other points of views. So it's the first movie, but like from background characters. And it is brilliant. Some of them are really funny. Some of them are really like serious and canon. Some are like exciting.
Everything the movies are not going to be.
Yeah, it was daring. It was daring. Everything Solo is not going to be. Yeah, my favorite story is cool. Actually, I have a quote from it here. My favorite story from the collection is called Stories in the Sand by Griffin McElroy. And it is about, you're not going to know what I'm talking about, but it's about a Jawa who lives on a sand crawler.
No idea.
Jawas are those little things that they have. They're little people and they've got hoods and they go oh dee dee. They like you. All you see is their eyes lighting up.
Okay.
It's about one of them called Jut, and Jut, he's just the sweetest little Jawa you ever known, and he dreams of getting off the planet and seeing the stars, and it's this like really sweet story, and like in a very corny way. When I was reading it, I was like, I was constantly going, oh, that's so adorable. But also, I was like, this is what I like about Star Wars. Like, this is hopeful. There's a couple cool stories like that. That like, there's another one which is about the creature who lives in the trash compactor for the original movie, which is – all you've probably seen the scene at some point. This little, like – it looks like a little, like, serpent.
Yeah.
It comes up and it grabs Luke and pulls it down. But it's the whole story of this character. And the character feels the Force. And the character, like it's cool stuff like that.
Come on.
It's not all canon. It's not okay. All canon. By the way, Disney's decree of everything's going to be canon now, they've broken that already.
Read the excerpt from the Jawa story.
There was not a Jawa on Tatooine who did not believe wholeheartedly that there was more sand below them than there was sky above.
Wow.
It's a really cool book. There's a story with Qui-Gon Jinn, who's Liam Neeson's character,
yeah,
talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it's before Obi-Wan dies and he knows Obi-Wan's going to die. There is a Yoda story where we find out that Yoda wanted to train Princess Leia, not Luke, and he had to be convinced to train Luke. It's just like, and there's really funny stuff, like that famous scene where Darth Vader chokes Admiral Mati in that meeting, and he's using the Force to choke him. There's a chapter that's written like a incident report, and it's like, what was the thing? Lord Vader choked me during a meeting. I think he needs to be reprimanded. It's just like something like that is straight up funny. So there's like funny ones, serious ones, cool ones. It's just, it's probably the most fun Star Wars book I ever read. So that's what I'm into right now.
All
right. That and Spirit Halloween.
I like that. That's a good way to end. So now what you guys should do is watch Perfect Strangers, buy Rude Jude's book,
go to
Spirit Halloween,
yeah,
and pick up Mike's book.
Yeah. From a certain point of view, which of course you know is a Obi-Wan quote.
Sure.
Show you.
Of course. How can you not?
Right.
Absolutely. Everybody knows that.
So, all right, this is good. I guess we'll see them next week.
So, listen, here's what you guys got to do. It's simple, real easy. You go to iTunes, you type in Pop Culture Man Children,
mm-hmm,
okay? What you do is there, you give us a nice review. Give us 5 stars or as many born journals as you could possibly
absolutely
imagine.
You're going to want to follow us, subscribe.
Subscribe, hit subscribe. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you feel, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. Hey, listen, we're men set in our feelings. If you tell us you don't like us and you want us to improve on X, Y, and Z, we'll do it. You could tweet me
if
at Emilio Sparks.
If they say mean things, I don't want to read it.
I have thicker skin. I'll
okay, because it would just hurt my feelings.
You could tweet me at Emilio Sparks. Instagram is at Emilio Sparks. Mike don't do Twitter, but he does Instagram, which is MikeBong9483,
mm-hmm,
which is your birthday.
You'll see my toys on there. Yeah.
He has a great toy collection.
Yeah.
And, you don't have to email us because we don't have one of those yet.
Yeah, and please don't correct us. We get it. We're just talking off the top of our heads.
It's two friends having a good time.
Yeah, let's say that probably 90% of the information we gave you is incorrect.
90? I'd say 100.
Yeah, probably.
It's just what we like.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to come back and enjoy what we like,
yeah,
by all means, you do so.
That's what they're going
to
do.
Is there like a way to...
I don't know.
End this like Star Wars-y?
Oh, no. I don't want to say like, may the Force be with you.
Yeah, please don't.
I don't want Kathleen Kennedy to come after me.
She would hit us with the cease and desist, yeah, so fast.
What does Voltron say when it comes together?
And I'll form the head.
Is that... No, I don't
literally,
like that.
Literally, that's
either
how it starts. Yeah. Form feet and legs. Form arms and body.
Well, they go like one part at a time.
Well, in the old one, yeah. The new one, they don't do such nonsense. What, that's why the new ones.
How about Autobots roll out? No, no. Here's how we do it. Go bye bye from Muppet Babies.
I like
ready?
That. Go bye bye.